I read of a church that has a sign on its pulpit saying, "Do not preach on the prodigal son." That was because they had no pastor and they were having a rotation of preachers, and it seemed to be the favorite sermon of many visiting preachers. Well, I want to take a little license today to preach on this parable, because I believe it has been 4 years since I preached on the prodigal son. And as it is Father's Day, I think that it lends itself to the ministry of the Word. 4 years ago, young people may have been starting university and are now launching out into the world, leaving home perhaps, going out into new situations, and of course, new temptations. This son that was living in the home became restless. He heard of the far country. He heard of other things that charmed him and that allured him. But it wasn't long until the far country exhausted itself. His money was spent, his dignity was gone, and he was feeding among the pigs. The Bible doesn't say that he actually ate the pig's food, but he thought about it. Such were the hunger pangs of his inner being. He obviously thought much about home in those days. And of course, home is never sweeter than when you're in turmoil. When you're sick or sorrowful, home's the place to be. And he realized what a wonderful home he had had. He didn't think much of it while living there, nor when he was leaving. But now that he fell on hard times, as he pondered on the sounds, the smells, and the delights of home, it must have been real torment. I want to say to young people here today, never despise a godly home. Never despise the benefits, the blessings of growing up in a stable, loving family. Those are things that will stay you in good stead for all of your life. And you will have a great struggle to duplicate for your family, perhaps in the generation to come. And so this prodigal thought about home. He thought on the good positions of the servants. And he said, "Now I've blown it. I've blown my name. I've blown my family's name and brought great shame. There's no way that I'm going to be reinstated as I once was. But what about those servants? They're so well cared for. The load is so light. Maybe, just maybe, my father would take me back and make me as one of his hired servants." The big question in his mind: how dare I go back? What kind of repentance would I need to show? What kind of sorrow would I need to demonstrate? And how would I be treated and judged by my father? I'm sure that may have extended his time amongst the pigs. But eventually, we read that he came to himself. And he began to make the journey home. And now the spotlight is no longer upon the son going away from home, but the spotlight is upon the father. How is he going to receive this prodigal? There's no telling the tears that the father had when he heard the announcement his son was leaving and he wanted half of his goods, and to learn that they were squandered and spent. To think of the fool that his son had made of himself. How could he look him in the eye and again ever treat him as a son? You might also be asking this question of the prodigal: but how will I be received? Maybe you're wondering about the nature of God today, because remember, this is the Bible. It's a Bible story. It's not just about human affairs. This focus on the Father receiving the Son is really a lesson about your Heavenly Father. Now we have sinned against Him. We have broken His law. We have wandered far from His heart and fold. We have brought disgrace on the name of a holy God. If we dare to return, how will He receive us? That is the purpose of this parable. In the opening verse of this chapter, you read of the Pharisees, and they were gloating and criticizing of the Lord Jesus for what? Receiving sinners. You read that in verse 1. Then drew near unto Him all the publicans and sinners for to hear Him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners." He what? He actually welcomes and embraces and entertains sinners? What? And that was the purpose of this three-part parable. The lost coin, the lost sheep, the lost son. How were they received when they were found again? And in this parable, you have a great demonstration of how you will be received if you will return to God and come in all your shame and all your sin and say, "I have broken your law. I deserve nothing, but I want to come home." How will you be received? Let's look at verse 20 and we'll get some answers here. We're told that he was received compassionately. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now I can see the prodigal son dragging his feet on the way home. This was a hard thing to do. To return home in the shame and the rags that he was now wearing and the stench of the sin life and the heathen world that he had been in. His head must have hung heavy and his eyes would have caught the very puffs of dust along the way as he trudged his way back toward home. It was hard going for the prodigal. But if you see the picture of the father, it says, when he saw him afar off, he ran toward him. And there was the beginning of a marvelous reception. The language behind that running of the father and falling on his neck really has the meaning of making a beeline for him. No diversions, no excuses, no distractions. He gets sight of his son and he runs directly toward him. Immediately there is this reception. Now he began to run while his son was yet, we're told, afar off, a long way off. He didn't stand in one place and say, "Well, we'll see if this young wretch really comes back all the way or not." No, when he sees his son making the journey toward him, immediately he runs. Nor did he stop in revulsion when he got close to him, but rather we're told that he ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him. The language demands repeatedly kissed him. He could hardly stop kissing him. That was a tremendous demonstration. Now the son may have been uncertain, but the father was not uncertain. The son may have been feeling out the warmth of his reception, but the father was not reserving his love. And what a picture this makes for us as we present the gospel to your heart today, that if you will come as a sinner with all your rags of self-unrighteousness, your failure, your emptiness, your worldliness, and if you will turn your back on those things and come to God, what will happen? You will be instantly, warmly, totally received. This is all about acceptance with God. That's a wonderful word. to be accepted with God. So if you have this question in your heart, what will happen to me if I go to the Lord Jesus? There is no doubt. Let me give you, not just in parabolic language as we read here in this story, but let me give you a doctrinal Bible statement in Romans chapter 5, 8. God commendeth his love toward you, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There is the long reach and the great compassion of God toward your heart and toward your soul. And there is this wonderful reception awaiting you. Now, there's three different kinds of people in this meeting here today. There are some who have never come. You've never asked God to be your God. You've never asked the Lord to be your Lord and Savior. And you need to come for the very first time. You say, but I've never been in my Father's house. I've never been at home. How could I ever be a son? Well, the miracle of the gospel is that God commendeth his love toward us. And what manner of love the Father hath bestowed, that we should be called the sons of God. This is one of the great mysteries and miracles of the gospel, the good news of the gospel. While we are born in sin, while we are shapen in iniquity, children of Adam and Eve, in the family of darkness, yet we can be translated as out of an orphanage into the family of God's Son, made sons in God's family. And that invitation is open to all who come. Doesn't matter what your past, your religion, doesn't matter your ethnicity, doesn't matter your color, it doesn't matter your anything. There is extended to you sonship in the family of God. If you come, you will be received. Now, the other kind of person is the one who has been at home with God and you've left. You have been walking with God and serving God, but you've left. Can you ever come home again? Can you ever return again? You once had a great testimony as a Christian, living for God. You read your Bible, you walked with God, but you've departed from it. And you've gone into the world and served it. And you've realized the emptiness of it all. Can you dare come back? The story tells its message. Great compassion. The Father ran, fell on his neck, and kissed him repeatedly. That's the reception that is yours. And then there's another type of person, and he's like the older brother. He's the one who says, well, I've always been at home. I was born a Christian. I was born a goody-goody. I've never brought shame on my family. And he's like the Pharisee. The Pharisees who criticized for Jesus for receiving sinners. And you know the story that whenever the prodigal was received home and they killed the fatted calf and there was music and dancing in the home, that the brother, he would not go in. He was angry. Let me tell you, he knew nothing of grace. He knew nothing of mercy. He knew nothing of his real state of soul. He was lost at home all the while. Never saved, never redeemed, never brought back. But the wonderful news is the Father received his Son. Now, he was received compassionately. If you move to verse 21, you will see that he was received righteously. This is not just brushing it under the carpet and cleaning up a mess by covering it up. You'll notice in verse 21 that all the rags and all the unsuitableness of this young man was addressed. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. He confessed everything. There was no cover-up, there was no pretense, there was no say, well, you know, all those reports about me, they're false. No. There was an honest, open confession. And he admitted that he had sinned not only against family, but against heaven. And you've got to realize this today, that when you break God's law, when you sin, you don't only harm your neighbor, your fellow man, your family, your people around you. You sin against heaven. And in the records of heaven, that sin is recorded. That black mark, that evil deed is registered in the law of God against you. And this has to be confessed and acknowledged. And then in verse 22, you'll notice the wonderful word, but. In spite of that confession, indeed it was because of that confession, because of the openness, the honesty of the Son, and his readiness to return, the Father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. You see, he was not brought back in his shame and in his rags. He was brought back with a dignity of a robe that made a man of him. Feet on sandals on his feet, a ring on his finger, that family covenant, that acceptance. And you need to know that when you come in all your emptiness to God, seeking mercy, there is full acceptance. And you're accepted righteously. You see, the Lord Jesus went to the cross to die for sin. And the only possible reason why God would punish his Son on that cross, because he had no sin of his own, he is sinless. He knew no sin, but on that cross the Father punished him. Why? That he would give a robe of righteousness, pure and white, clean and perfect, to you and to me. And that we would put on that robe to cover our nakedness and our rags, and God would look upon us as just as if we had never sinned. That's the great doctrine of justification. Just as if I had never sinned. Dressed in the presence of God, a full member of the family. And the servants came and they put that upon the Son, and he was received home righteously. Dare anyone say a word that this Son is not worthy? Now, if you were to ask him, he would say, that's right, I'm not worthy. But if you were to ask the Father, I've put a robe on him. I've put a ring on his finger and I've put sandals on his feet. He has been accepted back righteously. And likewise with us, if you ask me, are you worthy for heaven? Are you worthy to stand before God? I would say no. I'm a sinner. I've broken God's law. But if you ask my heavenly Father, he will give you what it says in Romans 8:33. Who shall lay any charge to God's elect? It is Christ that died. And because of his death, there's a robe of righteousness now for me, and I'm accepted in the Beloved. Going now to verse 23, you will see that you will be received gladly. In verse 23, the party began. And the Father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hands and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. There was no reluctance in the Father's heart, no reticence, no holding back, no mere face of love. It was heart love, willing to put it all on, because this was a better day than the day of his Son's birth, because his Son that was lost is now found, and it's a day for merriment and for rejoicing. As you think of the three parts of this parable Jesus told, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son, in each one of them there is this: what do you do when the coin turns up? What do you do when the sheep is brought home? Well, we're told, verse 7, verse 10, that the angels in heaven rejoice. They're singing in heaven over one sinner that repents. And here the party is led on merriment is made. The calf, the fatted calf, not that scrawny one, the fatted calf, the best. A meal is prepared, music is playing, and you can hear the dancing, the music, the rejoicing. The son that was lost is home again. That's a wonderful picture. Wonderful picture. And it's an earthly scene with a heavenly message. That when you come in all your rags and sin and accept God as your Father and plead the work of the cross done by the Son, and when you say, I come at the bidding and the promise of your word, there's music in heaven. There's rejoicing among the angels. Can you take that in? Even for you and me. No more worthy, shameful, lost, but praise God, saved and brought home. Now down to verse 24, you'll see that there is this received as a son. Now I might be doubling up this whole emphasis here. Preachers do that once in a while, you know. They sort of repeat things a little bit. There is called in preaching the law of repetition. Just don't say it once. Say it again and again. And hopefully that the message will get through. It's a bit like children when you send them to the corner store for a message. You tell them, here's what I want you to get. And then when they're going out the door, now remember what I want you to get. And then when they're up the road, but now remember what I want you to get. Don't forget. And likewise, I want you to get this message that you're made a son. A son. Not a hireling. That's the wonder of this story. The prodigal, while he was with the pigs, feeling his shame, wondering about his father's house, knowing that all was well there, he would have settled to be a servant, to work for a living. But that's not the gospel of grace. The gospel of grace is that you don't earn your way to heaven. You don't work for it. You come as a sinner and you receive the marvelous gift of being made a son. And he invites you in. Let me give you a wonderful Bible verse. It's John 1 verse 12. I hope that you can mark this, take it to heart, pray over it, think about it, even memorize it. Here's a wonderful statement of sonship, to be received as a son. John 1 12. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. What mercy. What mercy. And you know, the father's reasoning to the son, this objection of the elder brother opens up now some more statements from the dad. And the father reasons, this my son that was lost, it was meet that we should make merry. Meet. It's the right thing to do. This is no undercover operation, getting my son in under the wire illegally, a rescue mission that has to be kept a secret. Tell the world! This is the good news for all to know. The Father receiveth sinners home. I read a wonderful story of a Sunday night when D.L. Moody was preaching in a tent in the city of Chicago. He was preaching on the text, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. After he had finished preaching, a little boy was brought to the platform by one of the stewards of the campaign. He had found the child wandering in the crowd. Mr. Moody took him up in his arms and he announced to the crowd, anyone looking for a lost child? Then he said, the father of this boy is more anxious to find the boy than the boy is to be found. And it's just so with our Heavenly Father. At that moment, there was a red-faced man came out of the crowd to claim his boy. And he went up near the platform. And as soon as the boy saw his dad, he ran toward him. And there was the father with his arms wide open to receive his son. Mr. Moody didn't miss the moment, And he said, "Will God receive you if you will only run to him today? Will our heavenly Father be any less than an earthly father? Oh no. How can we doubt the mercy of God? How far away sinners are from God. But how quick God is to run, to rescue and reconfirm. How speedily God comes running. Will you turn to him today? Let there be no question mark, no ifs, buts about God's receiving sinners. He will. He will. If you pray, he will. If you repent, he will. If you turn to him for mercy, he will. He will. He will. I assure you. On the authority of this Bible, I assure you, he will receive you home if you come. You're invited. Indeed, you're commanded. You're never allowed to continue in sin. You're commanded to flee from it, and turn to the Lord. He will save you. I trust that this Father's Day message will be a word that will linger in your heart for a long time. It's one of the greatest stories of the Bible. No wonder preachers love to preach it. If I'm guilty of preaching it too often, forgive me. But I can't think of any better story on Father's Day than the father receiving the prodigal home. And it assures me that I am welcome too. Make sure you come, for he will receive you.